just at Reddit, but at 4chan and other sort of internet forums, decided that they could help with the investigation by taking all the photos that had come out of the bombing, combing through them, and looking for, I'm sort of air quoting here, suspicious characters. People carrying backpacks, people who might look like a terrorist.
Even in the beginning, Madrigal compared what was going on to vigilantism.
It was actually disrupting the official investigation because they were having to deal with all of these sort of false suspects getting floated and people getting accused. And it just turned into a big old mess, which I think was quite predictable.
In fact, one reason investigators released photos of the suspects last week was to tamp down on rumors. Unfortunately,
people started to develop this theory that Sunil Tripathi was one of the bombers.
Tripathi is a 22-year-old student at Brown University who's been missing since mid-March. The rumor was baseless, but it spread.
Buzz continued to build and build.
Sangeeta Tripathi is Sunil's sister. She and her family have been searching for her brother for more than a month. Early on, they set up a Facebook page.
In the hopes that one day somewhere, Sunny might log on in a public library if he's okay, see the notes and be triggered to reach out and call home.
But Thursday night, that Facebook page began to attract hateful, angry posts. Shortly after 10, the family pulled it down. By 11 p.m., Boston police were closing in on the true suspects in the case. And Alexi Madrigal says the internet was listening.
10-4, all units, 189 Mass Ave, be advised.
There were people who, during this time, were taking the stuff off the police scanner and writing it down on Reddit.
Around 3 a.m., tweets and posts went up online saying Sunil Tripathi had been named by police as a suspect on the scanner. Again, this wasn't true. There's no record of police mentioning his name. But Sangeeta Tripathi says those tweets created a circus.
I personally got over 58 calls from media between 3 a.m. and 4:11 in the morning. My parents who are very, very raggedy from the past 36 days of our lives were getting called and emailed.
News trucks showed up at their home. Sangeeta Tripathi says her family was already sick with worry, fearful for Sunil's safety and his state of mind.
Sunil, clearly, to leave your whole family and your life, one is not in a good place when one does that. And we are very, very worried about the costs of rash actions on fragile human beings. We hope that this doesn't happen again to somebody else.
In 3 hours, that media siege was over. Police released the names of the real suspects. Today, the Tripathi family is still searching for Sunil. And yesterday, the general manager of Reddit apologized. Steve Henn, NPR News, Silicon Valley.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. Folk singer Richie Havens died yesterday after a sudden heart attack at his home in Jersey City, New Jersey. Havens was remembered for a long career in American music, but particularly for one afternoon in 1969.
It was a moment Richie Havens could laugh about 9 years ago. He told NPR many of the other now legendary musicians had gotten stuck in Woodstock's equally legendary traffic jam. Festival organizers panicked and would not let him leave the stage.
Go back, sing three more. There's nobody here yet to go on. You know,
I'd go back and sing three more. This happened 6 times. So I sang every song I knew.
And even when he didn't, Havens improvised Freedom before an audience of some 600,000 people.
Freedom! Freedom! Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.
Richie Havens was born in Brooklyn. He grew up singing doo-wop on the streets and gospel at church. He and his friends were artsy kids who got labeled beatniks.
So we went to Manhattan to see what a beatnik was and found out it was us.
Havens was enthralled by the poets, musicians, and artists who were challenging American culture from Greenwich Village, the epicenter of the coffeehouse scene.
Just about every night, Kerouac was there. And quite a few guys.
Guys like Allen Ginsberg, who noticed the kids from Brooklyn scribbling in their notebooks at the famed coffee house, The Gaslight.
And finally he says to us, what's in those books? And we said, poetry, you know. He says, get up there. So I ended up on stage in The Gaslight.
Richie Havens attracted plenty of notice as a black musician in the largely white folk world.
Why not blues? Why not jazz? Why not rhythm and blues? Well, it's because I believe all music is folk music.
Hey, look yonder, tell me what's that you see? Marching to the fields of Concord. Looks like handsome Johnny with a musket in his hand. Marching to the Concord War.
Richie Havens recorded some 30 albums, but his biggest hit from 1971 was written by someone else. He imbued it with his inimitable growly joy.
Little darling, it's been a long, long, lonely winter. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Havens dabbled in the movies in the 1970s, appearing alongside Richard Pryor in the comedy Greased Lightning. And he was a funny mixture of pragmatist and idealist. He voiced commercials for McDonald's and Budweiser. But his environmental activism led him to found organizations that helped inner-city kids understand the ecology of the world around them. And Richie Havens took extraordinary pride in connecting with audiences and hardly missed a weekend on stage.
For me, spiritually, I am singing to the people I live on this planet with, all of them.
And that was Richie Havens' calling. He remembered his grandmother asking him as a child what he wanted to be when he grew up.
And I said, I'd like to meet everybody in the whole world. I think I'm doing it.
Richie Havens told an interviewer in 1996 that in spite of half a century of performing, he never considered himself to be in show business. I, he said, am in the communications business. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.
Little darling, I see the ice is slowly melting. Little darling,
you're listening to The Afternoon Magazine on WILL, and in a moment we'll hear from Garrison Keillor, but first, just a reminder that we are in the middle of our spring pledge drive here at WILL, and you may have had a moment like this. You're listening to one of the programs on WILL, like World News from the BBC World Service, or Fresh Air, or Focus, or All Things Considered, and you pull into your garage, you shut off the motor, and you just can't get out of your car. You've got to know how this discussion ends. That's how it is with the stories that you hear on WILL. They aren't just random bits of information. You hear news that's put in a context that makes sense. You hear interviews and discussions that are worth supporting. So please give us a call at 217-244-9455 with your contribution. If you're using your computer right now, you can donate online. Go to willpledge.org and make your gift. And something that I don't think a lot of people realize is that your employer may be one of the many in Central Illinois that will match employees' donations to WILL. Some businesses will also match their retirees' or spouses' gifts to the station. So please talk to your personnel office and ask for a matching gift form. Send this form to us and we'll process it for you. We'll take care of everything. Visit willpledge.org for more information on how to do that. So, an update on our progress. We are trying to get 100 people to pledge today. That's a very large number, but very achievable, I think. We've had 44 call in and make donations so far. So we need 56 listeners of WILL just like you to call in and make a pledge. 217-244-9455, willpledge.org. The more people we get to pledge today, the sooner we wrap up this drive. As soon as we hit that magic number, $120,000, we will finish the drive. So give us a call, 217-244-9455, or give online at willpledge.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Swires Land and Management Company, Danville; eAgco Incorporated, Fairmount; and Cannon Farms, Camargo. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 23rd of April, 2013. It's the birthday of Roy Orbison, 1936, born Vernon, Texas. Went to college, studied geology, but when his classmate Pat Boone signed a record deal, Roy Orbison decided to try that too. Moved to Memphis, formed a band, the Teen Kings, and his career took off in 1960 when he wrote and recorded the song Only the Lonely. One day, Roy Orbison asked his wife Claudette if she needed any money for her trip to Nashville, and Orbison's partner, Bill Deese, said, "Pretty woman never needs any money." And 40 minutes later, Roy Orbison had written, "Oh, pretty woman." It's the birthday of Vladimir Nabokov, born in St. Petersburg, Russia, 1899, to a well-to-do family. Novelist, author of Lolita, wrote his first 9 novels in Russian, then began writing in English, though he mourned the loss of his native tongue. A collector of butterflies who believed that had it not been for the Bolshevik Revolution, which kicked him out of Russia, he would have become not a writer, but a lepidopterist. And today is the day traditionally held to be the birthday of William Shakespeare in Stratford-upon-Avon in Warwickshire, England. His father, John, was a glove maker and an alderman. His mother, Mary Arden, was a landed heiress. Young William went to the local grammar school, learned Latin and Greek there, but grammar school was the extent of his formal education, which led to people assuming that he never could have written the plays. He never could have written so knowledgeably about history and politics and foreign countries on just a grammar school education. It is known that when he was 18, he married Anne Hathaway, who was older and who was pregnant. She was 26. She gave birth to a daughter, Judith, 6 months later. Shakespeare moved to London around 1588. It's thought he may have been on the run from deer poaching charges in Stratford. And he began his career as an actor and a playwright. By 1594, he was also a managing partner of the Lord Chamberlain's Men, a very popular theatrical troupe in London. In 1611, he retired to Stratford, made out his will, and died on or around his birthday in 1616, his body buried in the Church of the Holy Trinity in Stratford, under the epitaph, "Good friend, for Jesus' sake forbear to dig the dust, enclose it here. Blessed be the man who spares these stones, and cursed be he who moves my bones." Shakespeare, who wrote 38 plays, 154 sonnets, a couple of long narrative poems, created unforgettable characters, and, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, coined 3,000 new words and contributed many phrases to the English language. It was Shakespeare who gave us a fool's paradise, a sorry sight, dead as a doornail, Greek to me, come what may, eaten out of house and home, forever and a day, heart's content, slept a wink, love is blind, night owl, wild goose chase, and into thin air. Here's a poem for today by Grace Paley, entitled Certain Days. On certain